Hello and welcome to the Football New South Wales Community Podcast. In February, Football New South Wales held its inaugural Club Development Conference at Valentine Sports Park, with over 150 representatives from 81 clubs taking part in the day's workshops and discussions. In this episode, we tune into the presentation provided by Matt Carf from the Australian Sports Commission, covering the importance of volunteers and how to both engage and retain them in community sport.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here today. Matt Carf, Senior Manager of Industry Projects at the Australian Sports Commission, and it's great to be able to come here today and talk to you about that existential challenge we have around volunteering and engaging and retaining and recruiting volunteers into our sporting clubs. To start with, though, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting here today and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And I'd also like to acknowledge and recognise the outstanding contribution that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people make to not only sport, but society more broadly, and the power of sport to promote reconciliation. And I think it was a wonderful welcome to country we had this morning that was very educational and very inspiring as well. But I'm here today because the Australian Sports Commission has a renewed focus on volunteering. Throughout the COVID period, we heard that one of the key impacts on sport was that volunteers declined. And since COVID, the rebound of volunteers just hasn't really occurred. So we've done a lot of work in this space in the last couple of years, and hopefully today, with an eye to the season ahead, I can give you an overview of some key resources and opportunities for you to pursue to recruit and retain more volunteers. One of the key things that we've done over the last 2 years is form what's called the Sport Volunteer Coalition, and you can see them up here on the screen. It's 10 change makers from across the sport, volunteering and government sectors who've been working with us for the last 2 years now to advise on some key ways to shift the landscape in sport volunteering. We have created what's called the Sport Volunteer Coalition Action Plan, and this is available on our website. All of these slides will be available to you after the session as well, so you'll be able to check out all this information post the session. But the Sport Volunteering Coalition Action Plan outlines the things that we're going to be doing over the next 4 years to help sporting organisations recruit, retain and engage volunteers. It has a vision which is very different to what you may have seen before in the volunteering space. And what we're trying to work towards here is to ensure that people from all walks of life see and realise opportunities to contribute to individual club and community goals in a way that suits them. So you heard Adam here with my introduction a minute before saying if we don't have volunteers, we're stuffed, which is right, but that's not the reason that people volunteer at your club. People volunteer at your club because of a personal passion. They might be also the last person to stand back when it says who can help with this particular task. But the reason that people volunteer in sport isn't because sport's going to fall over, and that's really what we've been doing for the last many years in this space, is to say if we don't have volunteers, we don't have sport. But what we're trying to do here is to shift the narrative, to actually reframe sport volunteering to be a positive and rewarding experience. If you think about volunteering across other sectors in society, people volunteer for those things because they're passionate about them, whether that's the Cat Protection Society or the RSPCA or palliative care and so forth. People have a passion for that. And what we want to do is ensure that people have a passion for volunteering in sport, and that volunteering in sport is seen as an attractive option for people who want to volunteer and contribute to society as well. So we need to make sure that sport volunteering is inclusive and rewarding and open to all across the community as well. One of the key things that we've done here at the Australian Sports Commission in the last 12 months is launch what's called the Sport Volunteer Resource Hub. This is available online, it's free. And to be honest, if you look at resourcing for volunteers, there is stacks out there. Across all different sectors, there's templates, there's guides, there's case studies, there's more than a wealth of information for sport volunteer expertise and information. And what we've tried to do is to distill that down to what we think is the most useful and most helpful information. So rather than you looking at 15 different templates for maybe a volunteer schedule or a job description and so forth, we've identified hopefully the ones that are simpler and easy for you to use. So by all means, jump on here. You can see that it's broken down into a number of sections there. Setting up for success, attracting volunteers, supporting volunteers, and celebrating your volunteers. So I'd highly encourage you to check that out post the session. I'd be really interested to know, and you can reflect on this as you were talking there and hearing about not only the volunteers in your club, but the volunteers in somebody else's club too, whether your volunteers look like this. There's some key national insights into what the sport volunteering cohort looks like. The key thing about sport volunteers, there's a couple of key things. One is we're the largest set of volunteers out of all volunteering sectors. So more people volunteer in sport than education and health in other areas and emergency services. And we have a unique profile. And that profile is that the vast majority of our volunteers are either participants in the sport already or they're parents of participants. We don't draw upon people from outside of our general community or sector as much as other areas of volunteering do. So you can see there that 55% of volunteers are involved as both a player and a volunteer. We've got a huge amount of volunteers who have children in their household. Most are around the age of 35 to 54. And there's a slight, you know, proportion more of men than women who volunteer. So it's really interesting to think about that and in terms of the opportunities of where we might find our future volunteers as well and how we might think about how do we draw people from outside the club into our volunteer experience. This also shows that there's certain areas of society who are underrepresented in volunteering as well. So those from low socioeconomic backgrounds, those from cold backgrounds, and also Indigenous volunteers too are much lower than the general population. So there is some significant things we need to do to start thinking about how we engage some of these people into volunteering. Interestingly, those who benefit most from the volunteering often have the highest barriers to volunteering in front of them. This is what the volunteering cohort looks like for football, and this is the most recent data I could find, which was back in 2021. But it's interesting when you look at this too, this effectively reflects what a lot of other sports have as well. So a huge amount of participants that are already volunteering. You can see the volunteer breakup there in terms of the ages. So the vast majority in that 35 to 54 years of age. And so that, I think, to me, provides some opportunities to think about where we can start to attract more volunteers to sport. The thing that we think is most important is the sport volunteer experience. This is the environment that you create for your volunteers and how you work together to create that environment. And so what we've put together here, with a lot of research, a lot of consultation across the sector over the last couple of years, is a sport volunteer experience framework for change. And this is a framework against which you can review and think about the volunteer experience at your club. And if you think there's value in this, I'd highly encourage you to think about this going forward. The great thing is too, is that we have updated at the start of this year the workforce module in Game Changer for you guys. So Grace was talking about that earlier this morning. The workforce module is now aligned to this framework. So if you haven't done the workforce module this year yet, if you did it last year or the year before and so forth, I'd highly encourage you to go back in because some of these questions today that we'll talk about help you to think about the volunteer experience, hopefully a different way. What I want to focus on first, though, is the ways of working which sit around the outside there. So leveraging data and insights, and that's where Game Changer is going to be really important for you all, is to look at the data and insights that is starting to generate in terms of where your club's at and where it might be in connection to other clubs as well. Don't be afraid to try new things. The way we've been engaging with volunteers, we know in the past, doesn't necessarily work now. Society's changed, expectations have changed, workforces have changed, people's lives have changed, and so we need to sometimes try new things to see if they're going to work or not. So don't be afraid to try new things and fail. And most importantly, work collaboratively. I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you I've got all the answers. In fact, I don't have all the answers or many of the answers sometimes. Because what works for one community will not work for another community. And so hopefully through collaboration, and I'll get you doing a bit of that today, you'll start to uncover answers that are amongst your community already. So working together on these challenges is a really important thing going forward. Okay, so into the five elements there of the volunteer experience. Make it feel like I belong is the first one and most important one. So volunteers need to see themselves reflected and included in sport volunteering. All types of people need to see that they belong, and clubs need to be a place for inclusivity. So it's really important that you think about what does the environment at your club look like from the time that somebody walks into that front door or onto the pitch for the first time, and even the online environment of your club, how welcoming does it look like to people outside of your club at this point in time? Do your volunteers feel a strong sense of belonging to your club, and what changes can you make to the volunteer opportunities at your club to make them more inclusive of your community? And this is really important to think about too from the young volunteers' perspective. So do you have a strong youth voice at your club around volunteering? Do you know what they feel like in terms of the opportunities they see ahead for volunteering? So I'd highly encourage you to think about that from the youth perspective as well. The next one is make it easy to get involved. It needs to be easy to find opportunities to volunteer and get involved. And signing up should require no prior connection to the club. And ideally, going forward, it should be easy to stop, start and change roles and recommence volunteering depending on what else is going on in a volunteer's life. Quite often we sign up our volunteers for a season commitment. And I'd encourage you to think about, is there a way that we can start to chunk or block things in a different way that encourages people to try volunteering, to dip in and out of volunteer roles throughout the season? It might be that you appoint three or four people to a particular role rather than just one person so they can job share and so forth as well. But something for you to think about is how easy it for new volunteers to get involved in your club and how easy is it to start, stop and change volunteer roles. But what's most important today is that you take away one, two or three new ideas that you might be able to implement at your club that you haven't thought of before in terms of recruiting and retaining volunteers. And I noticed we had some roving mics around before. Maybe we could have a roving mic because I'd love to know, did anyone hear a great initiative or idea or something that somebody does that makes people feel like they belong at their club they'd love to share? Any ripper ideas out there that someone wants to share for the benefit of the group?
Just a very simple one, just giving a club polo to the volunteers so they're walking around, you know, with a shirt that shows they're a volunteer of the club.
Yeah, excellent. With volunteer on the back and that sort of thing. How many people have shirts for their volunteers that notify them or identify them as volunteers? A lot of you do, which is great. Yeah, and you can see that's one of the major attractions for major event volunteering too. So I'm not sure how many of you here were volunteers for the FIFA Women's World Cup, but you still see people obviously getting around in their kit. You know, that's one of the things that people really feel pride in is that shirt. So that's a great idea. And Even better is if you get some of your volunteers to help design that too. I've got a funny story. I've got a colleague at work who volunteered for the rugby that was over in WA just recently as well. And the volunteering uniform wasn't entirely to her taste, put it that way. So she wore it for the volunteering, but it's not something she said she would get out of the actual covered again in the future. So think about the design of your uniforms as well and how proud people feel to wear that volunteer shirt, not only in your club, but in the society and community as well. So yeah, that's a great one. Thank you. All right, and on to the next one, make it easy to get involved. Or did you have a feel like I belong one there? Well, there's lots, here we go.
Yeah, we both talked about implementing a volunteer of the month. So just setting up a simple Google form where our coaches can nominate like a volunteer of the month and we'd recognise them on social media.
Yeah, excellent. Very good. So volunteer of the month, easily recognised via Google forms, fantastic. And there was one up the back, I think, too, wasn't there?
I don't really need a mic. We actually had a pretty in-depth conversation, but one of the guys next to me had an idea with their volunteers. They tap into what they call the grey nomads. So they're those semi-retired guys that are linked to a local bowling club or a local fishing club, cricket club, not necessarily cricket, but that are hanging around in groups already. And they tap into one of those volunteers. It might be just for barbecue. And those boys then go, oh, come on down, Steve, as well. And then you gain more than just one of them. So it's about tapping into those unknown volunteer organisations that you might not have a link with normally.
Definitely. That's a great idea. Surf Lifesaving do something similar too. We've done a story on that on our website called the Silver Salties, is what they call them in Surf Lifesaving. So, yeah, there's groups around, whether they're social groups or more organised, you know, Men's Shed or the local bowls club and those types of things. And if you look at the volunteer cohort here that you have, in football at the moment, that 55 plus age group isn't that high. So there's potentially, you know, your older volunteers, retirees who are looking for an opportunity to contribute to society, might be passionate about football, tap into them. That's a great idea. The next one was make it easy to get involved. Any great ideas there around that one?
So we're chatting with the guardian safety fellas working with children behind us. And they have suggested to us, which we'll probably have a look at, that there are certain individuals that don't have a knowledge of football. However, they could be early childcare educators and so forth, who would have more knowledge on the safety side. So they could possibly be interested in heading into the volunteer side, knowing safety versus knowing football.
Definitely, yes. So it's really important to understand what is the actual tasks or roles or functions that happen in your club and being able to match people to those too. Quite often we bundle people up into a particular role that requires three or four different areas of expertise, but can we unbundle that to increase the number of volunteers to focus on their area of expertise too? That's a great segue, actually. I'll move on to the next one, which is tailor roles to support my needs. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about there, was the ability for us to think about what are the skills and capabilities that you have in your club and being able to tailor roles to support those needs within your club as well. And I've got an example here with this one. So at a club that I was volunteering at the start of our season, and we needed a barbecue manager. And there was a good defined role description. We knew what was happening. We knew what was required. But could we get a barbecue manager? No, we couldn't get one. It seemed to be too big, too onerous. No one wanted to plonk themselves next to the barbecue for a whole session and miss their kids participating in sport. But what we found is once we started to break the role up is we didn't need a barbecue manager. We needed somebody to get the sausages and the bread before the track, before the session. We needed someone to set up the barbecue and make sure there was gas. We needed some people there to cook, and we needed some people to pack up. And it didn't have to be one person that did that entire job. And once we started to separate that job into smaller chunks and asking people to do small time-bound opportunities to run the barbecue, we had plenty of volunteers and we had no issues going forward as well. So one thing I think it's really important for you to think about is your current structure of volunteer roles. How attractive are they to people in current society? And if there's some particular roles, and that was one of the things I was asked to talk about a bit today, was those hard to fill roles, is there a way that you can redesign them to make them a bit more attractive as well? And the fourth one here is support me. So this is the training and development that you provide to your volunteers as well. So support volunteers should feel confident about what they're meant to be doing, and they should have the training and tools and support to do the role and achieve their personal goals. And so it's important to think about and to know whether your volunteers are actually equipped to do their role or not. How often are you checking with them to feel that they are across what they need to do, they feel confident and they feel comfortable? Because when you put in a situation where you're not comfortable, that can be a real turnoff going forward as well. So these are the other two critical areas that we think that you need to focus on in terms of the support volunteer experience. So I'm going to give you another 5 minutes now to think about those two things. How we support our volunteers, is there a great way that you do that at the moment? And this is really an efficiency piece too, because it can be quite hard to do this training and development for volunteers throughout and into a season as well. And how can you tailor roles to support the needs of your volunteers? If anyone's done some great work in that space to chop jobs up, to make them different, to tailor them, go for it, share, 5 minutes. Thanks. Did anyone have some great ideas that they just heard then around these two topic areas? This is around the tailoring the roles to support people's needs. Have any of you done some innovative and different ways? Yes, we've got one here down the back.
Thank you. We've done a lot of the chunking it up that you've talked about before. We've got 400 kids in our junior section. Presentation day, full day, end of the year, clubs would know what all that's about. We've divided that up into 75 volunteer slots, from put the stuff out in the morning to pack it up in the afternoon. But the best thing with that, and some clubs are probably onto this, an online volunteer roster. And I just can't think of the name of it. It's the best thing I ever found. We just put the 75 out there and people come in and say, I'll do that for half an hour, I'll do that for an hour and a half. And last 3-4 years, we filled 55, 60 of the 75 spots before the day. And then we've got a full contact list for everybody who's doing just their bit.
And it amazing. Excellent. And yes, the use of technology. There is a lot of really great platforms out there now which can help you manage volunteers in an online format in a much better way as well. Just one other, is there anything, and particularly around, yeah?
we provide the opportunity for our volunteers to actually give feedback. So however you want to give it, we'll listen to everything. We won't always action everything, but giving them the opportunity to actually have a say without being on the committee. We've seen a huge number of people that are actually willing to volunteer with us for the simple fact that they get to have a say in their club, because without them, we don't have a club.
Yeah, that's excellent. How do they do it? What's the most common way they give that feedback?
The biggest one that we've had is actually letting them know that they can give us feedback. So yep. However they want to do it, come and have a chat to us on game day, send us an email, send us a text, whatever. The other thing that we're doing this season is to actually have a volunteer like family tree, so they know who we are, because most of the time we've got three fields that say, see that person in the green shirt over there? Go and talk to them.
Yep.
So at least we can say, this is their number, this is their email, this is what they look like. You can have a chat with them that way as well.
Excellent. So easily identifiable points of feedback, whether that's a person or online and so forth as well. So yeah, excellent. And see, there's great ideas out here. Like, we don't all have to think about, we have the ideas ourselves. It's about collaborating and finding those ideas amongst your club. And I know very much that's what that National Club Volunteer Network is all about as well, is around sharing ideas and best practice in volunteering. I'll quickly skip to the last one here in this framework now. And this one's a little bit more complex and will probably take you some time to go away and think about it. Which is around how we create value for the individual volunteer and the club that they participate in and their community as well. So ideally, the volunteer feels like that their contribution is creating value and they're getting something back from that as well. And that could be as simple in terms of, you know, some recognition around what they're doing, but also seeing the impact of what their volunteering does. And one thing we don't do very well in sport is to think about the broader societal impact that our clubs have on community as well. So if there's a way for you to think about what is the impact of this volunteer doing this job and thinking about it from a broader societal perspective, sometimes those types of messages and those types of stories helps to bring in, for example, you know, the older gentleman at the bowls club who can't necessarily see what the value is of the volunteering on the surface. So can you articulate the value for volunteers at your club? And do you communicate the value that your volunteers at your club provide for the club and the broader society as well? So what is the impact of your 175 volunteers over and above just running that amazing presentation day? There'll be a whole bunch of other things that those volunteers will get out of that too. They'll get personal development, they'll get a whole bunch of opportunities. So think about this broader value exchange in terms of what your volunteers get out of volunteering, but also what your volunteers contribute back to their society and community as well. So hopefully out of that you've got some good ideas to think about. And as I said, the current workforce module in Game Changer gives you an opportunity to reflect a lot more on these questions as well. How do you go about putting all this into place? Hopefully you've got maybe a structure like this already. If you're not doing this, I'd highly encourage you to do so. But actually appoint a volunteer lead on your committee, or someone senior within your organisation who isn't tasked with 10 other jobs, but has a sole focus on volunteers and their experience and recruiting and retaining and engaging volunteers. Create a volunteer engagement plan, and there's plenty of advice on the Resource Hub on how to do that. Capture the voice of your volunteers so that opportunity to provide feedback is critical. You need to hear from your volunteers regularly around what's working, what's not working, and then also plan for succession as well. Don't get to the end of the season, have somebody fall out of a job and then not have an opportunity for somebody else to step into that. Who's already been supported to do so. So that's really critical. Just a couple of a few other resources that are of interest here just before we wrap up. We run free webinars. We did four of them last year, specifically on the topic of volunteering. We ran one on youth volunteering. We ran one on new approaches to recruiting sport volunteers, and also a webinar focused on volunteer retention as well. And so we draw upon speakers from right across the volunteering and sports sectors with great ideas like you guys all had to share those ideas in these webinars. The next one we've got coming up is in March. Some marketing will come out for that soon. And the topic is technology in volunteering. So some of those platforms that you heard and talked about before, we're talking about whether technology is actually friend or foe in the volunteering space as well, because it can have some negative impacts if it's not implemented well. But these volunteering webinars are free, they're on the Clearinghouse for Sport, and you'll have the link to go and watch them. They only last for an hour or two, so you can easily engage with the content. National Volunteer Week is coming up. Last year, we ran a campaign called Three Cheers for Volunteers. hopefully some of you would have seen that and engaged with it. We're putting out free collateral material again this year to help you support and celebrate your volunteers. And I'm sure Football Australia, I think they got on board last year as well with some content here. So National Volunteer Week, 20th to the 26th of May, is a great opportunity for you to celebrate the volunteers in your club and join a national movement around celebrating volunteers. The theme for this year is something for everyone. So we'll be doing a lot of work to try and highlight the opportunities in sport volunteering, that there is something for everyone to get involved in. Sport Volunteer of the Year. You may not have heard of this. We've been running for 2 years now. But we have an award here that recognises volunteers who make an outstanding contribution to sporting organisations, clubs, teams or programs. Nominations will open in October. And anyone can nominate. You can see there Alyssa Oliveri on the right-hand side was our young volunteer last year who won the award. And we actually had a football volunteer in our top four last year. So Nicole from football in the ACT. So it's a great opportunity to recognise your volunteers by nominating them for the Sport Volunteer of the Year award. They'll get an acknowledgement of that nomination from us, whether they win or not. So it's a great way to acknowledge them. And we also then profile these volunteer stories over the next 12 months. So you'll see a lot of our stories come from the nominations that we receive here as well. So I'll just finish off, and hopefully out of this, you've taken some good ideas to think about for volunteering, an understanding of a framework to help you think about the volunteering experience, and an opportunity to connect to other people across your sport as well to further enhance your volunteering knowledge and opportunities as well. So what steps now will you take to enhance the volunteer experience at your club? And maybe one way to think about it is one big thing, three little things, and some other stuff you might write on the back of a post-it note as you walk out of here today.
We hope you enjoyed the discussion. Be sure to check out the Football New South Wales Club Hub for the session video and many more club resources available. Thanks for tuning in.